Okay, so we are going to continue with our title, Pressing On Towards the Goal of Maturity. Pressing On Towards the Goal of Maturity. Now, those who are here for the day I started, we started reading from Philippians chapter 3. We read a couple of verses there. And as we can see, there's just a connecting. There are just a few connecting verses here which we've put. The first one is, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have attained. And then I would like us to jump to Romans. I'm going to wrap up with the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. In our weakness, rather. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Wow. That's very powerful. I can feel the impact as I'm reading right now. The impact of that groaning. Okay. Then jumping to verse 37 of the book of Romans 8. The Bible says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Pressing on towards the goal of maturity. Now, you remember when we began, I talked about so many things. I was just telling the leaders in a few words to say, when I was starting, I was bringing in a lot of emotions. You remember, especially the second session was tense, in which I went, you know, to some family issues, family lost family members, and so on and so forth. But today, I'm here to encourage. I'm not here to arouse or to motivate any emotions of the past. Amen. We reflected on that, so that's it now. Remember on Sunday I was preaching about understanding the times and seasons. So there is time for everything. There is time for every message. It's not every time that, you know, we need to be feeling sorrowful. Sometimes we need to be pounded on. Sometimes we need, you know, to be encouraged and so on and so forth. Amen. So this is what I've come to do today. So after we looked at the past, you know, the things that we did, the life that we were ashamed of, and the things that made us cry in the past, the things that brought pain, then what? We gave examples, different examples, and the Apostle Paul is one of the examples that I gave in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, when he prayed three times to the Lord to remove the thorn in his flesh. The Bible just reports that it is not described. You know, people come up with all different, you know, formulas and forms of this thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times for the Lord to take it away, to say, Lord, take it away, this thing. In fact, it is called, he says that the messenger of Satan was sent to me to buffet me, to pound me. I cried three times to the Lord to take it, but His answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." So in other words, God said, "No, Paul, it is okay, my son. I don't need to remove this burden. The grace for you to carry it is sufficient. Continue to go with it." Amen. Amen. That sounds a bit different, you know, and critical. And then I also gave an example of another person who prayed 3 times. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. When he was about to, when the death on the cross was imminent, the crucifixion. The Bible says that he began to sweat and blood was dripping as he was sweating. He was sweating blood. You know? And then he prayed to say, "Father, take this cup of suffering away from me. If it is your will and not my will." 3 times. The answer was very simple. Though it is not recorded, I believe the father said, "My son, you must must go through the cross." And we know he did it to the glory of the name of the Lord. So, in all these things that we go through, now, when we come, just to give you the background, on your own time, you can read Romans chapter 8 from verse 18, coming down there. Just to browse through, verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Okay? This is the same Apostle Paul who wrote something to the Philippians, where we began to, you know? And now he's saying, "I consider the present sufferings, all these struggles that we are going through, they are nothing compared to the glory." So, whenever a challenge comes, it hammers you right, left, center, up and down. When it leaves you, there is the thick glory that rests upon your life. Amen? You are built in faith. You become very formidable. A person, let me give you an example. A person who has gone through issues, and somebody who has not gone through issues, when they begin to pray, you can tell. You can tell to say, this one here, it is coming out of radicalness of experience. Amen? Yeah, it's like that. So the Apostle Paul says that in all these things, in all the sufferings, they don't matter. What matters is the glory which they bring. Amen? That is maturity. That's what I'm trying to say. This glory, it is what we call maturity. Amen? So you pass through all these things, you know, challenges, you know, ups and downs. You are maturing. So we shouldn't be complaining. "Oh no, I failed," you know. And you even give up and you forget about everything. You forget about trying again. There are people that tried something, they failed, and they vowed never to do it again. They're like, "Oh, that was a shameful thing. It was embarrassing. I will never to spare myself." No. Great leaders are failures who never quitted. We know that, right?
Yes.
All these great people, when you sit them down, you know, they will present the picture, you know, when they are speaking and you are like, "Wow." Sit down with them. Ask about their story. Then you will know, you'll be like, I don't desire to be even where you are. That's how it is. So the Apostle Paul is saying that, look, maturity comes. The glory comes in this way. And now, there comes a time when you are bombarded so much with challenges and you feel as if it's a hard ground. It's a hard ceiling, even prayer. What do you do? That's why I brought this scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, which says that likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with the groanings too deep for words. I don't know about you, but me, I've experienced this over and over. There have been times when I've been hit with burdens whereby something is just upon me. This is a heavy battle. It has crippled me, and I'm failing to speak words. Sometimes you are just vibrating, or you are just like, It's not manifestation. It is the mode of prayer. Yeah, because people will be like, whoa, are those demons or what? No. It is prayer. There are sometimes you can make different sounds, not just the one I was, you know, you can. So, in short, when the Spirit is praying, let me give another example. There have been times whereby I am too tired after running up and down during the day. I am very tired to pray. Yeah, sometimes if you see me preach, you'll be like, oh, this guy is on fire. Sometimes I get tired. I get tired whereby I'm even planning to skip prayer. I'm like, oh Lord, you know my faith and you have already answered my prayer. But the problem I find myself in is that I've taught my kids that every day before they sleep, every night, prayer has to be done. So they are the ones who come, Dad, you're not coming to pray. I'm like, I'll come, hallelujah. Sometimes I even tell them to say, let faith pray. They'll be like, no, we want you to come here. I'll be like, I've been teaching you all this time. You mean you cannot pray? No, Dad, we want to pray with you. Then I'll be like, oh my God, you didn't understand that. I'll go and pray. Sometimes I won't even be desiring. I'll be like, okay, let me just go. I will pray, and as I'm praying, I'll get that motivation. After I go back, I'm like, oh, praise God. Lord, these angels are my motivators. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so it's a good thing. Yeah, so there have been times whereby I'm feeling like I don't want to pray, but I am feeling also at the same time that prompting to say, start praying, start praying, start praying. There is a burden. I don't know your experiences, but for me, if there is something that needs urgent prayer, I feel something heavy upon my heart, I will start praying until that burden is lifted. That's when I will stop. It is something I tell God to say, oh my God, I've realized that those early days I used to say, Lord, raise me as an intercessor. Now that it came, I'm like, this is a heavy burden to bear. Because it will not leave you. It's like you are carrying a load. It will not leave you until you pray. I've had so many experiences. People, that as long as people are connected, whether I know a person by name, even in the church, as long as we are connected, I'll just pick something. I'll start praying. There have been times whereby I was just led to pray, and within maybe a few minutes after feeling that burden lifting, I received a phone call to say, oh, I was in an accident. This happened, but thank God. Then I went on to say, oh, you were my prayer point. You know? So, what I'm trying to say is, at that moment, I don't know what is going on in the spiritual realm, but I am prompted and I am praying without knowing the prayer point. I am praying as the Spirit of God is leading me. That is how the Holy Spirit helps us how to pray with much groanings. Sometimes words that are too deep to utter. You are not even saying anything. You are just vibrating. Amen. That's why when we go full blast Pentecost, well, the Pentecostal way of prayer, you have to be strong. Yeah, but all I'm saying is it shouldn't be like in any form of tradition. Prayer is prayer. The Holy Spirit will lead you. There are times, I can give you an example quick. So in 2010, I went out of my country, Zambia, for the first time in Malawi. That's our neighboring country on the east side. So I was invited. I was a little guy. This time I'm a big man. I was quite small. I was invited to go and speak in a conference. So, before we went, I had a dream about the same pastor, the bishop, who was hosting. I had a dream that he was attacked and he died. And so, pastors who were in that conference, who had come to the conference, they lined up and begin to pray for him, one by one. And because I was the youngest, I decided to be at the end of the line, the last person, to give opportunity to the big people. That was in the dream while I was still in Zambia. And people prayed. When it was my turn, when I started praying for him, he jumped out and raised back to life, to the glory of the name of the Lord. So I didn't understand that dream. I said, what's the meaning of this? That is the bishop. You know, he's supposed to pray for me, but you know, and you know, you can't say such things. So I just kept it. We went there. First night, we slept. Just in the midst of the night, there was an attack. The enemy advanced upon that house, whereby in the room, we felt, I don't know whether, let me not say we, I felt whereby I was getting choked. I was awake. It's like all the oxygen in the room like was removed. It's like there was carbon monoxide, you know. And then the Lord told me, this is an attack. Start praying. I started praying. I prayed for some time, then slept. The following day, we went and did baptism of new members and the like. We came back. We were about to have breakfast around 10 a.m. So I was with another friend pastor from Zambia in the bedroom. The other pastors were having breakfast already. So we were the last ones, like we were talking. Say, when we just finish, we'll join them. All of the sudden, I just felt something heavy, like came and rested upon me like a very heavy burden. And then the Lord told me immediately to say, start praying now. This is the spirit of death. And I told that pastor to say, close the door. So he shut the door. We started praying. That was around 10. We held hands. We started charging in the spirit. We prayed in tongues. We prayed. I spoke in tongues that I've never spoken before. We prayed. The anointing for prayer was so tense in that room that we couldn't even know, you know, we couldn't even determine the time, what time it was. We continued to pray. After we finished, we said, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go and have breakfast now. We felt as if it was maybe for 30 minutes. Not knowing that the time was 4:30 p.m. from 10 a.m. So we went there. We found there was lunch and people have eaten and they have gone. We're like, what? What? We checked the time. 4:30 p.m. That was intercession. We didn't understand. So, after that, that bishop came. He looked at me and said, he shook my hand. He said, thank you so much for praying. So, as we didn't know, we were in that room, we were praying. The things that we were calling out were the things that this bishop was passing through. Because of the impact that he was doing, some Satanists, wizards, and witches had arisen in Malawi to attack him. And they even sent him letters of threat and so on and so forth. Sometimes he would be in the house like this, seated like this. And then you see
You know, like a human being,
like the barefooted, you know, footprints of blood from like here going as if somebody is walking upside down, you know. So he could see that. You will not understand this. I'm talking about African stuff. So the pastor had gone through a lot, but to cut the long story short, the conference was done. And then we even returned to Zambia. Just a day after, we received a report to say the bishop had an attack. He just fell down and like passed out. Then they rushed him to the hospital. And then when they took him there, they found that he had developed sores from the mouth as if something just came like a plague all the way down. So when I heard that, I told them to say, no. That is just the manifestation. It is well. I saw that. You were supposed to die, but we prayed. You remember that time? He said, yeah. I said, it is well. We just prayed, and he was back to normal, to the glory of the name of the Lord. So I'm talking about, I'm giving an example of how the Holy Spirit will help you to pray. Amen? Yeah. I've got so many life examples. In 2018, here, in Africa, it was very far. You were like, ah, did that really happen? Or maybe it's just making up some stories. This one was here. In 2018, I remember, that was November 29th. So I was working as a chaplain intern at Methodist Hospital. I was driving, you know, in 210. Just right before branching off from the 210 to Mishrinda and Rosemead, there. I'm sure if you know this road, you know where I'm what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, the car that I had, the Ford Expedition, the green one, the first one, I don't know what happened, whether the steering broke. I just felt the steering just went like, boom, bended to the left and jammed just like that. And then the wheels had turned this way and they were locked just like that. And so that was in the freeway. I'm like in the far right lane. And then the car turned and the wheels shoved like that. And the car started going across the freeway, and it was in the morning. Cars were coming. Up to today, it only takes God. I could see trucks coming. I could see vehicles whereby I know to say they are going to hit me because I'm going across. None of them hit me until I went and hit into the edge. Boom! You know that barrier they put. And thank God for that, because down there it's an opening and a dampening. I could have gone like, woo, poo. But the devil is a liar. I went and hit in that. The car went up and faced where I was coming from. I tried to come out. The door was shut. Smoke was coming out. I didn't know what was happening. I had to push with my strength to bend the door to come out. Thank God I came out. And people were like, hey, are you okay? I said, yeah. Glory be to God. That's how I survived. Now, the reason I brought that one, around the same time, my wife, she said that the moment I drove out, she just felt an impression to start praying for me, and she didn't know why. She went into the bedroom, shut herself from the kids, and she was praying for me. The same time that happened. And I survived. Hallelujah! So I'm just showing you how God works. My mind was, okay, I'm going to work. You know, dealing with patients. That was on the way. God raised somebody, my wife, to stand in the gap. So, what I'm saying is that every time you feel a whisper or just a prompt to say, pray for this one. Don't ignore it. Do it immediately. You don't know what you are saving that person from. Amen.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit helps us to pray in our weaknesses. These weaknesses may mean when we are physically tired, we are feeling lazy. The Holy Spirit will help us to pray. You just start to pray, oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All of a sudden you feel charged and you begin to vibrate in the Spirit. Sometimes the weaknesses will be even when you are sick. You know that it becomes very difficult when you are seriously sick to pray for yourself. You want others to come and pray for you. But in the very weaknesses, the Lord will give you, the Holy Spirit will give you. You know, when you have that impediment, the Spirit of God will give you grace, strength to pray. These words are coming from the Apostle Paul, the man who prayed several times, whom God told, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weaknesses, my power is made perfect. So it is from somebody who had an experience. These words are coming from. Amen. Praise God. And then we should always remember that regardless of the pressure that we may go through, our topic is pressing on towards the goal. And at the beginning, I said that when you see the word press, that's a verb. You know, if you are pressing against something, it means that there is a form of resistance that is there to oppose you. Now, even in the midst of that resistance of whatever you are struggling with or whatever that may be, we should always remember that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 8, verse 37. Paul was asking rhetoric questions to say, shall suffering separate us from God, from the love of God? Shall the sword, shall nakedness, shall all these things? Then he came and provided the answer to say, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, there is a conqueror, and there is more than a conqueror. Amen. Which I might interpret to say, a conqueror is somebody who go physically in the battlefield and then they conquer. But to be more than a conqueror, this is somebody who stands aloof while somebody else is fighting his battle. And then at the end, it is attributed to them as being victorious. Amen? What I'm saying is that Jesus Christ has fought the battle on our behalf. And he has made us victors, more than conquerors, through his holy name, not in ourselves. And then, the Apostle Paul in verse 38 of Romans 8 says that, for I am sure, RSV says, for I am sure, but NIV says, I like NIV. It says that, for I am convinced. For I am convinced that in all these things, that neither death nor life, death will not separate a matured child of God from God. Remember the experiences I told you of losing my nephew and niece? That was death. I prayed for them to come back to life. It didn't happen. That did not separate me from the love of God. That did not separate me That did not make me abandon God to say, ah, no, I've tried everything, it's not working, I've gone. No. He's still on the throne. Amen? Amen. Neither death nor life, whatever life may present to you and me. Because as human beings, the way we are wired, we react automatically, you know, by instinct. If things are okay, we are good. The moment things turn around, then that's when issues begin. But we tend to forget that God loves us. Death will not separate you and me. Amen. And I have that faith. I can speak boldly. Even as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, that for I know whom I've believed, and I am persuaded that he will keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's the eschatology about even the end life. I am convinced that even if I died today, God forbid, I'm still able to live so many years. But even if you heard that Stephen is gone, his love will go with me. It was in here where I gave an example. Yeah, it was in the first session where I gave an example to say, I gave an example of a young man who was troubling people at the graveyard. He said, no, I want to jump in. I want them to bury with me. You know, bury me with my what. And then one old man just said, hey, leave him. Because as people were holding him, trying to sympathize, ah, no, brother, you can't do that. He was becoming very energetic. Ah, no, leave me. I want to go and jump in there. The old man just said, leave him. He's wasting our time. Let him go and jump in there. And so the moment they released him, he just ran and went by the grave and knelt down. Ah! He couldn't jump in there. You see? For me, when I saw that, I said, ah, this guy. He wanted to be wasting time, you know. He was trying to impress the public to show that he was too emotional. But when the reality was released to him, he failed to do it. So I learned something there to say, only Jesus can cross over with you to the other side. Amen. Not your fellow human being. It's impossible. Who would volunteer to be buried with somebody? That's uncalled for. Amen. Praise God. So, this is what the Bible is saying. No angels, no rulers. Whether an angel came today and said, no, God doesn't love you. That's a lie. You should dismiss that angel straight away. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Galatians that if any man, be it an angel, came and preached a different gospel apart from the one that we presented to you, let such a one be accursed. Those were the words of the apostle. Because he was sure about this reality. Angels have no power to derail you from the love of Christ. No rulers, powers and principalities, whether physical rulers or spiritual rulers, they have no authority. Nor the present things or things to come. This love is intact, the love of God. No powers, no height going up, no depth going down, no anything else in all creation. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. That is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So this means that whenever we pass through a circumstance, a situation, we should always remember that is with us. The big temptation that comes is to ask, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? If you are there, why have you allowed this to happen? He's always there. Remember the promise that Christ gave when ascending into heaven. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. We rush to 19, but verse 18 is very important. Verse 18, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then now comes verse 19. Therefore, in this very authority, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, unto the end of the age. We forget the last part. I am with you always. He didn't say, I will be with you. He said, I am with you, present tense, not future, or past tense to say, I was with you. No, I am with you always. Hallelujah. So every time we feel like, you know, is God around? Is he near me or not? Let me tell you something. You see, it's not correct to measure the presence of God around you with emotions. That is not correct. I know what I'm talking about. Even I, at least there have been times whereby I'll pray, I'll feel charged and vibrating in the spirit, and I will not say, the spirit of God is here. Hallelujah. And then there will be times whereby you are praying, you know, it's like nothing is happening. That vibration, you know, that confidence, that excitement is not there. You and me, because we tend to judge based on our feelings, at that moment we feel like, no. When I felt very encouraged and charged, the Spirit of God was there. God was there. Now the way I'm feeling, I feel disconnected. He's not there. No. He's always there. Amen. Always. To the very end of the age, he will be with us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the good part of our God is that he has no moods. Imagine, I don't know about you, sometimes I've got some moods personally, based on the things that I've woken up thinking about, what is pressuring me, you know? Now imagine if God was waking up with moods like that. The world could have been in a lot of chaos, you know? Yeah, because waking up one day, you know, when a person is moody, even something that is very simple, they try to magnify it. There could have been chaos, but this God is the unchanging God. The same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Even when we run away from him, we abandon him, his arms are always open, waiting for our return, like the prodigal son. Don't you realize, even in the book of Genesis, after Adam sinned, ran away into hiding, who followed who? Was it Adam or it was God? It was God. Came down. The Bible says that he heard the sound of his feet. And he was calling out, Adam, where are you? I am here. And I'm naked. And that was very interesting, because all this time the guy had never worn anything. And he never realized that he was naked. And then God said, who told you that you are naked today? And instead of confessing to say, Lord, I have sinned, he did what we usually do. The woman. She did it. And God said, okay, no problem.
Woman, what did you do?
Instead of her also accepting, she was like, ah, Adam, you have refused. You want me to take it up? No.
The snake did it.
It's only the snake in that scenario that did not find anything to point to. So, God is always with us. Whenever we develop that mindset of thinking, be it in any circumstance, regardless of our emotions, our feelings, we just know to say, God is always with me. Even in the midst of crisis, you know to say, Lord, thank you, you are with me. That is maturity. Only mature people will say that. Because mature people in the Lord do crazy things in the eyes of the world. Amen. Amen? Amen? Because if there is chaos everywhere and then I say, hallelujah! I can see joy in the midst of this. People will be like, that is trauma. Please find some therapist or counselor to sit this person down. You know? The person is traumatized. That's why they are responding, you know, like that. It's not normal. Why? Because there is a way that, you know, we've aligned things. But with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. We need to praise Him in the midst of that. We need to acknowledge Him in the midst of that. Let me end here. You see, as I always say, I have the grace to talk. I can talk until in the morning. I'm serious about that. You see, in Africa, we used to do overnights. And I could stand at 8 p.m. in that overnight, preach and begin to pray for people. I will go up to 5 a.m. Serious business. I'm not a machine. Of course, when I was beginning in 2006, that drill, I could sleep the whole day from 6 to about maybe 5 p.m. The whole day I would be sleeping. But the more I continued, the more the hours of sleeping started reducing, until now I was there. Amen. So, let's press on to maturity. Let's press on. Let's always remember that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, will always help us to pray in our weaknesses. You help us. You help us.